Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of Swift and Savvy, my podcast where we dive deep into the intricacies of Taylor Swift's musical mind and journey, and basically just all things Taylor Swift. My name is Holly, and I'm the host for today's episode, and joined here today with me are two super Swifties, Taylor and Natalie. So how's it going today?
Good.
Great.
Perfect. Me too. All right, the reason we are currently sitting here right now, everyone's favorite topic, your favorite topic, Taylor Swift. So what initially drove you both to Taylor Swift's music?
I started listening to Taylor Swift when her debut album came out. I think I was 9. Someone had told my mom that she was a good upcoming artist, and so my mom bought a CD and we played it in the car. I ended up falling in love with it, and then following year when she was on her Fearless tour, I went to my first concert and went and saw her when John Mayer randomly showed up on stage because they were dating at the time.
That did not age.
Plot twist.
Anyways, I also listened to her when I was younger, and I remember like listening to her at the radio, like driving. And then I remember one of our friends, she like showed us her Love Story music video, and then that was so iconic. And that just like really drew me into her.
Right. So you guys were both young when you first started listening to her, but now you're basically adults. So has your view of her changed differently than when you first started listening to her?
I would say definitely, just because as I've aged, she's also aged. And so just like how my music tastes have changed as I've gotten older, so have hers. So she has changed up genres. So now she's done country album, she's done pop, she's done alternative, and she did, I would say Reputation is still pop. You know, has some more rock undertones, but yeah. So as I have aged, she has also shifted her music. So I've been able to grow up with it. So definitely she's not the 17-year-old country artist that she was when I started listening to her. But she's, I would say definitely my view has changed, but for the better.
Like going off of Taylor, like I basically also got to grow up with her as she continued to change her music and everything. We basically got to follow along in her journey. And so, yeah, my view also like changed a lot because, you know, like our first exposure to her was like pop, but then she just changed so much about her music. And then now she loves incorporating like Easter eggs and everything. And then that's just like fun to like hear and encrypt.
Mm-hmm.
That's the word, yeah.
Well, you mentioned Easter eggs, so that leads into my next question. And it's definitely a well-known fact that she incorporates millions of Easter eggs literally everywhere and hidden messages into everything. So what are your thoughts and like takes?
I think it's so much fun. It's a really great marketing strategy because it gets so many people involved. Like I can go on Reddit and find millions of pages dedicated to her and other people talking about when is she going to release this. She wore a certain necklace that maybe showed that she was going to release a certain album on a certain date. It's just so much fun, and I think it also brings a lot of people together to be able to communicate and talk about that. So again, it's great marketing on her part, but she's also a genius, and so it makes everything so much more fun and inclusive.
I think she's like one of the only like singer who's like obsessed with doing Easter eggs, and like I think for her it's also like she enjoys doing this, obviously. I love it. She like, I remember seeing a video like she watches everyone's like, trying to like interpret the lyrics or like the music video or whatever, so like she enjoys it, and it's also like a way for us fans to also interact with her as well.
Like I can't tell you how many times over the last couple months when I've been very much anxiously awaiting for Reputation, Taylor's version, but then she announced that she's coming out with a new album instead, so I was definitely clowning and thought
it's coming out today.
It did not.
Yeah,
the label album.
Yes.
Shit. Plot twist.
Yeah, she loves pulling our hearts.
Yeah, she definitely has fun with it. She knows what we're all thinking, and then she can pull a fast one on us. And like, haha, psych, idiots.
All right. So, in a more detailed sense, today we are taking a closer look at one of Taylor's songs from the vault on the album Midnights, titled "You're Losing Me." So let's get right into it. So You're Losing Me by Taylor Swift has connotations of a breakup song, or basically about a relationship nearing a breakup. Can you give like your own thoughts or overview of this?
Well, the song wasn't released to everyone. It was on a certain, I think it was on a specific vinyl that you had to buy from her shop, or it was like a Target version or something. So it was only on vinyls, but people recorded it and put it on YouTube and everything so everybody could listen to it. So You're Losing Me came out in 2022, but it didn't get released on Spotify and Apple Music till 2023, when people were able to listen to it and not just bootleg versions like I listened to.
Yeah.
Her really good friend, Jack Antonoff, who is her producer, when the song got released on Spotify in November of 2023, posted on his story that he and Taylor had recorded the song in 2021, which at that time, she was still in a relationship. So to have this really deep song about a breakup and how heartbreaking it is, but then she and the person that she was dating at the time, Joe Alwyn, continued to date until 2023. So it kind of blew up the internet and everyone was like, what the hell? Jack is just out here exposing everything. So that caused a huge frenzy that blew up the internet, basically.
I mean, I think the timeline for me was really interesting because like she made that song when they were still together. So it's also like kind of showing how like that relationship between her and Joe are like declining, and it's just like not going to where we thought were going to happen, where they were going to get married, but in the end they broke up.
It was also just really her and her relationship with Joe Alwyn. Even though they dated for 6 years, they were very, very private. They didn't go out, they didn't do anything, they were really not seen with each other, they didn't go to award shows together. Taylor honestly didn't go to any award shows during most of the time while they were dating. So for us to see this inside look at what the relationship was like was brand new for us, because none of us had any knowledge of personal details of how their relationship was.
I also think it like reflects on like her stage in life, like where she's at, because like when she first started dating Joe, it was like with the Kanye situation and her just getting a lot of hate, and so she had to like step back and everything and like not produce any music or go on tours for like 5 years or so. But then now, like after she got like really famous because of the Eras tour and everyone started to love her and everything, I think that's just like two different stages of her life where she doesn't really need Joe anymore, because like he was there for her when they were like, when she was going through all that scrutinizing, and like he really helped her like deal with that and like helped with the emotional support and everything. But now that she's doing great, and like I don't think Joe really likes the stage, like doesn't want to be in the public eye. So I think that was like a driving force for the breakup. And I think like right now with Travis Kelce is like better situation.
Yeah. And I think we can see how private Joe was about their relationship through the lyrics of You're Losing Me. Because definitely it mentions in the song about Taylor saying, I wouldn't marry me either. So to be in a relationship for 6 years and not have marriage on the mind is one kind of weird. So definitely they had talked or thought they were getting married, but then Joe, from what we can see and what we can determine, obviously we don't have all the facts, so I have no evidence, but in my mind I think Joe did not want to marry her because she was so big, and because they started dating at a time when she was really recluse and getting a lot of hate from everyone, that she was able to step back from the limelight, but she wanted to be back in it and produce music and be on stages and go on tours. And I don't think he was supportive of that. And kind of, I ultimately think that the relationship ended in a ultimatum of like, you either slow down and become less of yourself and we can get married, or if you continue to be so big and do these amazing tours, then yeah, nah.
That is harsh. But with Joe and him being like that, after listening to the track You're Losing Me, how do you feel about Taylor's newest relationship with Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce?
I thought she moved on really fast, because they were dating for 6 years and just broke up, and then a couple months later she got with Travis. So I thought he was going to be more of a rebound person, but then during the whole like Super Bowls and like seeing more like pictures of them, I just like think like, oh, maybe this isn't like a rebound, like maybe she really loves him and he really loves her. You can just see the love shown, like him supporting her at the Eras tour with the friendship bracelets, and her basically going to like almost every football game and just like at the box, and you can just see her cheering for him, and then like them making little like cute signs and everything, and it's so cute. And I was just like, yeah, I really love them together.
I'm obsessed with them together. One, because I was a fan of Travis Kelce before they started dating. I listened to him and his brother's podcast for about a year at that point, ever since they played against each other in the Super Bowl. One, I just found them really funny and I loved their relationship. So I heard on the episode when Travis mentioned that he went to her Eras tour and wanted to give her a friendship bracelet with those fun girls.
So cute.
He shot his shot. Like, he went out there and he was like, all right, I have nothing to lose. So then someone had to have contacted Taylor and said, like, oh, Travis Kelce talked about you on the podcast and wanted to get your number or give you his number. So the fact that it worked out and they started meeting up and started dating. So cute.
It's such a meet cute. Like, yeah, I love it.
I love their story. And he's also a great guy. Like, you know, he's super sweet with like his fans, and he's like, he's also like really popular in the sports world, and she's also really popular in like the music world. So like both of them being like superstars basically kind of like helps with the relationship, because like they can understand like the demands that they have to meet with like the fans and like other stuff. But like they also know how much fame could like affect their whole lives. And so like the fact that they can relate to one another is also like another reason why they're such a great fit.
And that's something that she didn't have with Joe.
Yeah.
Is like, yes, he's an actor, but I literally have never seen him in anything.
No.
Ever. Didn't know who he was until they started dating, and I was like, who is this man? So, and I think because she's accepting and being like, yeah, okay, I'm gonna go on this huge tour, I'm gonna embrace being the pop star that I am, and then to find someone else who's also has not the same level of stardom but very similar, I think is very beneficial for the relationship, because they can stay grounded. The fact that both of them are so family oriented well, and like Taylor has always been close with her parents, she brings them on tour, every tour with her. Her mom at one point was her manager, I believe. So for her to find someone who is also that family oriented while being on the center stage and having millions of fans want to know your every move, I think that they're able to focus on each other and supporting each other and not let everyone else come into their relationship because they're so family oriented and have similar stardoms. I just love their relationship. I'm obsessed with that. Like, I love it. I'm like giggling and kicking my feet when I see photos of them together.
Literally, it's so cute.
No, when they first, after her tour, one of her shows, and then he was standing out there and she ran out to him.
Oh yeah.
And they like started to kiss, and I'm not even that invested, but like low-key I am a little bit, because I'm always sending her things. I see something and I'm like, oh my gosh, did you see this? It's so cute.
Yeah, no, I'm in a group chat with two of my best friends, and 9 times out of 10 what we're talking about is Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, because we're just obsessed with their relationship and that they seem like normal people in a normal relationship.
And I love how public they are. Like, they're not afraid to like show how much they like love each other, like out in public and everything, and it's just like they're just embracing it, and we're just cute.
Yeah, they definitely have mannerisms that are relatable to people in relationships, like that are just so normal. Like, there was a photo of them on vacation in the Bahamas a couple weeks ago, and I think Travis had his hand on her butt.
And I'm like, that's just like, that's such a normal couple thing to do.
And like, she never had that with Joe. They were never seen outside together. So for us to get this inside look at how normal their relationship is, I think it's also, it has created a new love for both of them. From football fans now loving Taylor and Swifties now loving football. As you can see, like, it was, this last Super Bowl was the most watched Super Bowl in history.
Yeah, and honestly, like, her with, like, her past relationships, like, we all know about her relationships since she's so public with it, like, with Joe Jonas, John Mayer, and all that. Like, all of them were toxic and, like, wasn't a great fit for her, and she's just like had so many relationship problems, and finally seeing her happy with Travis Kelce just also makes the fans happy, because we've been through this journey with her, like with her relationships as well, and like she's always more the happiest in those, and like seeing her finally like in love and everything is just like rewarding, and it's just like, yeah, you deserve it after like everything you've been through.
Yeah. No, and because she has so many like sad breakup songs too, like I can like, as someone who is in a very committed relationship, and sometimes I literally have a playlist that my friend made of sad Taylor Swift songs about breakups, even though I'm happily. And I'm like, yeah, that is accurate. So I'm interested to see how, with her new album coming out in 2 weeks, I know it's going to be a huge breakup album about her and Joe, but I'm hoping there's some songs on there that are like happy and uplifting. Yes. About her new relationship, so then I can listen to them and not have my husband think that I had a divorce.
Well, it's literally called the Tortured Poets Department.
I know, and she released yesterday. I think yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she did a partnership with Apple Music and basically confirmed, because she has different variants with certain vault tracks and certain vinyls, and she basically confirmed all of our theories of that each different one was the stages of grieving, and so she went along with it and did a partnership with Apple Music yesterday and came out with playlists of every stage of grieving, and then her previous songs from her previous albums under those categories. Yeah,
that's the fact that she has enough music to do that.
I found on Spotify a playlist of just every single song she's ever done, and it's like, I think it's like 22 hours.
That's normal, you know.
Yeah, that's very normal for most artists.
But I think the new album's also releasing April 28th, right?
April 19th.
Oh, 19th? Okay.
April 28th is my birthday.
I thought I was on your birthday. That's why I was like wondering, but...
No, it's so close.
It is so close.
I low-key kind of forgot about that new album.
Me too.
I'm really scared for it. Like, as we're sitting here recording this, my two best friends are literally talking about the Tortured Poets Department album in our group chat right now.
Oh my god.
Because that's how often we talk about it. And I'm really scared for this album. I think it's gonna break my heart and chop it into pieces and throw it into a dumpster fire.
But like, that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's okay.
I was just singing your music, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm just excited for the Post Malone track, you know?
My goal for the year is just to get a better Spotify percentage of being her listener, because for 2023 I was one of her 0.5 top listener.
It's not good enough.
No,
I want to be it's like 0.1 or something.
I want to raise that score.
I was, for one of my favorite groups, like 0.001 couple years ago. I was like, okay.
Or just appreciate her Eras tour, like the amount of effort and stamina and like everything, like her costumes, her dance choreography, like the stage, like, oh my gosh,
getting tickets amazing. To that tour was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
I would have like a heart attack.
At work, and I closed my office door and said I was in a Zoom meeting so I could be in the queue and get tickets.
That is so valid.
But Ticketmaster kept crashing, and so I had 6 tickets in my cart, and I clicked check out, and then the site crashed, and I had already waited like for 3 hours at that point in the queue, and so I lost it. So we didn't get tickets, and then a couple weeks later, I woke me up on like a Saturday morning. I got an email from Ticketmaster, because I was one of the people that signed up to get a special code, so then you could register a couple days before general admission, even though they just canceled general admission because they didn't have enough tickets because they sold too many pre-sale tickets. But they sent me of like, hey, we noticed that you had signed up for pre-sale tickets, but you didn't buy any. If you put in your information, or like you put in a range of how much you want to spend, and somebody did the cheapest, we'll put you in a raffle to get 2 tickets in that price range. And I thought it was fake, but I was like, screw it, I'm gonna do it. Like, I don't know if this is real, but if it is, I'm gonna do it. And so then, and I told my friend that I went to the concert with, and then I got a random email again. I was at work, I found out that I won the raffle and got the tickets. And my friend and I, we both worked at the same high school. And so I ran into her classroom in the middle of her teaching and told her that we got the tickets. And so we were jumping around like lunatics. And all of our seniors are like, what the heck is happening right now?
Yeah, that's so lucky.
I know. I wish I could go.
I spent way too much money on that concert. Like, even the tickets themselves weren't super expensive. I think they were like 100 each. But I spent so much money on, like, because everyone's doing like costumes or dressing up as an era. And so I spent so much time and money because I painted my own pants with things from her songs. So that took a lot of time and effort, but I absolutely loved it. And those are mementos that I'll have for forever.
Oh, that's actually so cute. Oh my God.
I spent months making them. And then my friend's mom made us t-shirts on her Cricut.
Oh, wow. That is impressive. Yeah.
And we drove down. We took off work and drove to Atlanta to go see the concert.
Well, all the complex outfits and costumes and stuff are insane sometimes.
But I just love how our fan is just like going off, like, you know, it's been 5 years since she did tour and we decide to do friendship bracelets and like dressing up and just going out, like,
when the, like, the fact that someone got the idea to make friendship bracelets from one line in a song on her most recent album.
Honestly, she said like that helped with like small businesses with like the economic stuff. Like everyone decides to start buying small beads and like everything, or like buying friendship bracelets off of small business. And she's just been like helping with the economic incline.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because apparently like every city she goes to, like they see in like the
economy,
in like crazy hotels and like whatever. And it's just like,
no, and like I even saw that when I was in Atlanta the night before the concert, we ran out of beads because we were sitting around making a friendship bracelets and we ran out of beads, so we ran to the nearest Walmart and they were almost sold out of friendship beads. Like, I don't think if 2 years ago I went to a Walmart and went to go buy, they would have been like on clearance because no one's buying.
Whoever started that
is a genius.
And they should like copyright it and make
videos. Yes, bro.
Really? I hope they gave credit. I hope like Taylor Nation gave credit to that person and be like, thank you for this incredible idea. Unless it was Taylor Nation that came up with it and it was just a marketing ploy.
Honestly,
Taylor Swift alone.
I don't know. I just love, like, I love Taylor Swift and how she brings so many people together. Like, I was wearing my Taylor Swift sweatshirt to Publix the other day, and the checkout lady complimented my sweatshirt. And then we got into a full conversation about what concert did you go to? How was your experience? It just brings so many people together. Of like, would I have ever sat and chatted with the Publix cashier otherwise, other than saying hi, how are you, how's your day? It just brings so many people together, which I think is incredible.
Yeah, she just brings so much joy, like, through her music, you know. Like, also, like, I've seen people commenting on like videos and it's like how like her music saved them and whatever, and I just like think like how powerful music is, and just like Taylor's such a huge influence to us, and like, I don't know,
she is the music.
Yeah, she really is.
Her back has got to hurt.
Oh, for real.
She's carrying the entire weight of the music album.
Pretty much.
No, and like, even though like I'm a 25, 26 year old adult, I don't care that I'm like a Swiftie. Yeah. Like, I embrace it. Like, I know some people can make fun of me for it, including my husband. It's just fun. It makes me happy. Like,
it's like back to when we're little kids, you know, listening to her music for the first time again. It's just like every time she releases something, it's just like, you know, it makes you happy.
Brennan's just a hater.
Yeah, well, he doesn't like anything.
I know. I've known that for
your entire life.
About 20 years. Well, I think that about wraps it up for all the time we have for today's episode. We hope that you enjoyed our deep dive into all things Taylor Swift. You're losing me, star, star, star. You're losing me, star, star, star. You're losing me. I can't find a pulse. My heart won't start anymore.